Hello, friends. I'm Pastor Pitts Evans. Welcome to the Whole Word Podcast. Let's get right to the Word of God. Jeremiah chapter 13. This is what the Lord said to me. Go and buy a linen belt and put it around your waist, but do not let it touch water. So I bought a belt, as the Lord had directed, and put it around my waist. Then the word of the Lord came to me a second time. Take the belt you bought and are wearing around your waist, and go now to Pereth, and hide it there in a crevice in the rocks. So I went and hid it at Pereth, as the Lord had told me. Many days later, the Lord said to me, go now to Pereth, and get the belt I told you to hide there. So I went to Pereth and dug up the belt and took it from the place where I'd hidden it, but now it was ruined and completely useless. Then the word of the Lord came to me. This is what the Lord says. In the same way, I will ruin the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. These wicked people who refuse to listen to my words, who follow the stubbornness of their own hearts and go after other gods to serve and worship them, will be like this belt, completely useless. For as a belt is bound around the waist, so I bound all of the people of Israel and all of the people of Judah to me, declares the Lord, to be my people for my renown and praise and honor. But they have not listened. Say to them, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Every wineskin should be filled with wine. And if they say to you, don't we know that every wineskin should be filled with wine? Then tell them, this is what the Lord says. I'm going to fill with drunkenness all who live in this land, including the kings who sit on David's throne, the priests, the prophets, and all those living in Jerusalem. I will smash them one against another, parents and children alike, declares the Lord. I will allow no pity or mercy or compassion to keep me from destroying them. Hear and pay attention. Do not be arrogant, for the Lord has spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God before he brings the darkness, before your feet stumble on the darkening hills. You hope for light, but he will turn it into utter darkness and change it into deep gloom. If you do not listen, I will weep in secret because of your pride. My eyes will weep bitterly, overflowing with tears, because the Lord's flock will be taken captive. Say to the king and to the queen mother, come down from your thrones, for your glorious crowns fall from your heads. The cities in the Negev will be shut up, and there will be no one to open them. All Judah will be carried into exile, completely carried away. Look up and see those who are coming from the north. Where is the flock that was entrusted to you, the sheep of which you boasted? What will you say when the Lord sets over you those you cultivated as your special allies? Will not pain grip you like that of a woman in labor? And if you ask yourself, why has this happened to me? It's because of your many sins that your skirts have been torn off and your body mistreated. Can an Ethiopian change his skin, or a leopard his spots? Neither can you do good who are accustomed to doing evil. I will scatter you like chaff, driven by the desert wind. This is your lot, the portion I've declared for you, declares the Lord. Because you've forgotten me and trusted in foreign gods, I will pull up your skirts over your face so that your shame may be seen. Your adulteries and your lustful neighings, your shameless prostitution, I've seen your detestable acts on the hills and in the fields. Woe to you, Jerusalem! How long will you be unclean? We have a prophetic act that opens this chapter. It's a really interesting prophetic act. But the Lord tells the prophet Jeremiah to buy a linen belt or sash and put it around his waist. And so he does. And then the Lord tells him, take the belt that you're wearing around your waist and go and hide it in a crevice in the rocks. So Jeremiah responds to that and goes and hides the belt in a place where the Lord had instructed him, in the crevice in the rocks. Then he's instructed to dig it up sometime later. So many days later, the Lord said to Jeremiah, "Go now and get the belt I told you to hide." So I went to Pereth and dug up the belt and took it from the place where I'd hidden it. But now it was ruined and completely useless. And so get this picture. He buys a brand new belt or sash. He ties it around his waist for a little while at the Lord's instruction. Then he goes and hides it in a crevice in the rocks. And sometime later, he goes and pulls it out of the crevice, and now it's ruined. You got the mental picture. So the interpretation is given. Then the word of the Lord came to me and said, "This is what the Lord says. In the same way, I will ruin the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. These wicked people who refuse to listen to my words will follow the stubbornness of their hearts and go after other gods to serve and worship them. They will be like this belt, completely useless. For as the belt is bound around the waist, so I bind all of the people of Israel and all of the people of Judah to me, declares the Lord. But my people, who were called for my renown and praise and honor, have not listened to me." And so the Lord intended for Israel and Judah to be bound and carried by him, so to speak, in a similar way that you would carry your belt. He intended for the people of Israel and Judah to be close to him, like a belt around your waist. This is the imagery that's being conveyed. But they rejected him for other gods, and so therefore they've been set aside, and now they're to be spoiled, ruined, just like this sash was ruined. The Lord then promises Judah the wine of suffering. He goes into some more elaborate descriptions, but he basically says, you know, "I'm going to fill Israel with drunkenness, all who live in this land, including the kings who sit on David's throne, the priests, the prophets, and all those living in Jerusalem. I will smash them one against another, parents and children alike. I will allow no pity or mercy or compassion to keep me from destroying them." So this wine of destruction is coming. The Lord encourages them to humble themselves before it's too late. He says, "Give glory to the Lord your God before he brings the darkness, before your feet stumble on the darkening hills. You hope for light, but he will turn it to utter darkness and change it to deep gloom." This is the words of Jeremiah under the inspiration of the Spirit, referring to the Lord and calling the people to repent. "Even the king and queen are called to account, and they should humble themselves. Say to the king and the queen mother, come down from your thrones, for your glorious crowns will fall from your heads." And so Judah will be carried into exile. They'll be completely carried away from a country that's coming from the north, which we now know to be the Babylonians. The Lord says that all of this is because of their idolatry, which he considers spiritual adultery, or he uses language like prostitution, spiritual prostitution. This is what the Lord has to say. "You will ask, why has this happened to me? It is because of your many sins that your skirts have been torn off and your body mistreated." In other words, this pending judgment is going to be like a rape, spiritually speaking, physically. It's going to be like a rape of an adulterous woman. Verse 25, "This is your lot, the portion I've decreed for you, declares the Lord. Because you've forgotten me and trusted in false gods, I will pull up your skirts over your face so that your shame may be seen, your adulteries and lustful nayings, your shameless prostitution." So not only is this spiritual rape to occur, the Lord, in his disgust, is going to be complicit in what Babylon will do to Israel. He closes with these words, "I've seen all of your detestable acts on the hills and in the fields. Woe to you, Jerusalem. How long will you be unclean?" And so the Lord's anger is, I won't say it's without measure, but it is really at a high level. It has to do with the people of Israel rejecting the God of Israel. The fact that at this point in their lives, they had turned to idolatry and other gods. And the Lord's had enough. The Lord's had enough. So Lord, we pray that even now, on us and on other nations, even in the midst of your righteous judgment, have mercy, Lord. Even in the midst of the need to correct us or even judge us. Have mercy, Lord. In your judgment, always remember mercy. Lord, we love your justice. We appreciate your justice. But Lord, we love your mercy more. And so, God, we cry out for mercy for our nation and the nations of the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Whole Word. It was brought to you by Whole Word Fellowship and the Northern Virginia House of Prayer. If you were encouraged, please share our podcast with your friends. We'd also appreciate it if you'd hit subscribe in your favorite podcast app and take a few moments to write a review. If you'd like more information on our church and our ministry, you can go to wholeword.net or wholewordpodcast.com for more information. Thank you again, and may the Lord Jesus bless you today and always.